Today's gospel is from the third chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13, page 784 in your pew Bible. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat again. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Outside of being in the shower, can you think of a time when you were really wet? Maybe you got caught in a thunderstorm and you were drenched because you didn't have a raincoat, you didn't have an umbrella. Or maybe you were walking along the edge of your pool like I did one time, trying to like scrape the edges, and I lost my balance and fell in with all my clothes on. Luckily, I didn't have my phone in my pocket. That was a good thing. Or maybe you're just one of those adventure seekers with your grandkids, and when the splash pad opens up down there at the lake, you bring them there, and you stand underneath the big bucket. And the big bucket. Silas, my almost five-year-old, this last summer, had the courage to stand under the big bucket. And it was awesome, because you just get drenched. Now, you know, we even have pools around here, and that's a great way to cool off. And those of us who live here all year round love our pools because it is really hot. And even a 90-degree pool feels cool when it's 125 outside. You can feel being wet, can't you? Can you imagine that? Can you feel the feeling of being wet and drenched? Well, today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And the thought I want you to think about today is not to think, but more to experience. Because baptism needs to be rescued from our head and experienced in our heart. Baptism needs to be rescued from our head, just thinking about it, to being experienced in our heart. You know, we all experience being wet. And that can describe you. You're wet. But have you ever thought of being wet because of your baptism? By the waters of baptism do not describe us. They actually define us in who we are. Martin Luther is the one who came up with the term walking wet. And because baptism needs only be experienced one time in your life, you don't need to be baptized again because you sinned. That's what communion is for. We can understand and have an attitude of living in our baptism by, as Luther described it, walking wet, like feeling like God is now again forgiving me. God is now again claiming me. God is now again loving me, making me whole. Walking wet moves faith from head to heart. Now, not all of you here grew up in a Lutheran church. Many of us did. But I just want to give you a little bit of background if you're not kind of new to Lutheranism or you're kind of like, what is a Lutheran? Well, the Lutheran church started with Martin Luther, promptly so, in the 1500s in Europe. And so Lutherans tended to be German or Scandinavian, because of the history. So Norway, Sweden, I think Finland, Denmark, those are more Lutheran countries. And if you know people from there, Northern Europeans tend to be a little more, what should I say, reserved. They're not usually, Lutheran churches aren't the hand-raising churches where people are celebrating worship in that way. They're a little bit more reserved. But I want to challenge you today that even though you may feel a little bit on the outside, a little inhibited, and you're not sure if you should feel something, today I want you to feel. I want you to really feel God's mercy, His love, His Spirit, because He wants you to experience Him. Not just know about Him in your head, but feel Him in your heart. Baptism needs to be rescued from your head and experienced in your heart. The passages today that you heard read all have to deal with water. And I want to start with, we're going to spend a little bit of time in each one of those this morning. So first, in the Joshua story. This is one of my favorite stories of the people of Israel as they are journeying from Egypt, and now 40 years has passed, and finally, the generation that doubted that they could conquer the people who inhabited the promised land for the Israelites have died off, and now just their descendants remain with Joshua and Caleb from the first group, and they're going to now cross the Jordan River and claim the land that God has given them. Now, you heard the story, and there's some interesting things happening there. First, the Ark of the Covenant is a part of this, and that is where they place the tablets from the Ten Commandments. It's a very holy thing, the Ark of the Covenant. And the Israelite people would carry that with them, and when they moved into a new location and they set up camp, they created the tabernacle. It was a tent structure with the Ark of the Covenant inside, and only the priests could make contact with the Ark of the Covenant, and even not then very frequently. But something special is going to happen. It's time for the Israelite people, which could have numbered up to 1 million people by this time, to cross the Jordan River. Now, if you were the inhabitants of, say, the land that was across the Jordan, which is, you know, Jericho and then present-day Israel, and you saw 1 million people camped over the river, you might be freaked out a little bit because you're thinking, what's going to happen? And they should have been. Because what happened is Joshua is instructed that this is how it's going to go down. The Ark of the Covenant, when you see it, start to make your way to the water. And the priests are going to enter the water, and then the water is going to pile up on one end so that everybody in the nation can cross the river. Now, what you heard here was some very important details. First of all, in verse 15, it says, the Jordan overflows its banks through the time of harvest. So this wasn't a trickling stream like, you know, some of the rivers around here that you could easily walk across because they're only ankle deep. This was a river at flood stage. And if you've experienced a flood, you've seen it, at least you've seen pictures of it on the news, on television, a flood is not something you want to enter into. The water is going quickly. It's like a rapid. And it's flowing, and they're standing on the bank of the river with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, these priests. And it says that the water is not going to stop until you take your first step into the water. Now, that's a frightening possibility. You're walking into flood stream river that's flowing very quickly underneath you, but you have to take the first step before the water stops. Well, the people of Israel, the priests, did it. They stepped into the water believing that God was going to stop the water, and then it started to pile up. And then it says everyone else should cross the river, but they have to do it 2,000 cubits from the ark. So that's about a half a mile. So you go, well, down the road a half a mile, you could see this huge wall of water. You may not recognize or see the Ark of the Covenant, but you would see this huge wall of water, and then all the people passed through. Now, if you experienced that, I think you'd remember it. Just like the people of Israel when they walked through the Red Sea, when they left Egypt, you would remember it. And that's what this experience gave to the people of Israel. They knew that they were God's chosen people. They knew that God was going to fight for them. They knew that they were going to be rescued and saved and delivered just as they were long ago. That God would continue to work for them. Now, the waters of the Jordan were not the waters of baptism, although it's in the Jordan River that Jesus was baptized. Maybe even perhaps at around this location where this happened hundreds of years before. So thinking about baptism, we need to get it out of our heads and get it into our hearts. An experience like the Israelites just had would do that very thing. If you turn to Romans 6 in your Bibles, and it's on page 917, we're going to look at this passage which explains so much about what baptism accomplishes, what it does for us, and where it comes from. So it starts out that Paul is writing this to say, what are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? So there was this kind of thought, well, if God forgives us for everything we do, shouldn't we be more bold in our sin so that God has more to forgive? And Paul's like, no, wrong idea. That is not what God wants. He wants you to turn from your sin and live a holy life. And so it goes on to say in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death and were buried with him into death so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life? That explains what baptism accomplishes. This isn't just a simple ceremony. Baptism is profoundly life-changing. Because it talks about when we're baptized, we are like dead, and then we're going to be raised. The word baptized, baptizo, really means drowned. So it's like you drowned your old life, your sinful life, in the water, and then you're raised up in baptism as a brand new person. That's what it says in verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Friends, you don't have to sin. You don't have to, even though you're tempted, you don't have to fall into sin. You don't have to gossip. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat. You don't have to whatever, anything that is against God. You don't have to do that because in Christ you are set free. You're a new person. You have been delivered from death and sin. And it says in verse 10, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now that can be all in your head. That can be something you can think about and go, I get it. I'm dead to sin. But I want you to feel this in your heart. Matt found today a song we're going to do after the message today called Baptize. And it is a feeling song. It is one of those songs that you feel. The words go, take me down to the river, wash me white as snow. Take me down to the river, your love is going to make me whole. Take me down to the river, cleanse my heart and mind. When I'm underneath the river, I'm going to leave my old man behind. And that old man is the man of sin, the one that is dragging you down, the one that you feel like you can't control, but that's the man that Christ renews and forgives. He goes, baptize, baptize, baptize me in love, baptize me in peace, baptize me in mercy. Lord, baptize me in relief. Wow, think about that. Think about what that means to have peace and mercy and love and relief. Verse 2, pull me up from the water. Your voice is loud and clear. Pull me up from the water. I'm breathing resurrection air. Pull me up from the water. Holy Ghost, come and rest on me. When you pull me up from the water, I know I've been set free. There was a movie that came out maybe a couple years ago called The Jesus Revolution. Any of you see that movie? It was about the revival that happened in Southern California in the 70s, I believe. And in that movie, it's a pretty telling movie because it's Calvary Chapel started at that time, and it was an incredible thing that hundreds, even thousands of people, young people a lot, were baptized and their lives were changed completely. And in the movie, there's a scene that I think is probably, for me, the most powerful part of the movie was when Greg Laurie, who was kind of a skeptic, but he began to seek Christ, and he was drawn to being baptized and believing. And he went into the water, a bay in the ocean. And when the film showed it this way, when he went down under the water, it went dark. And it was a long scene. And then light started to appear through the water. And it was like he was being drowned. And then the light got brighter and brighter and brighter, and he was raised up out of the water. And it just really symbolized this newness, this renewal, this incredible feeling that God was in him. God was with him, that he was loved, that he was rescued. Part of the song we're going to sing, it says, this is what it feels like to have God on the inside, to feel it in my bones and feel it in my breath and feel it in my heart beating out of my chest. To feel it. How can we feel it? How can we feel it? Well, letting the song, letting the words, letting the scriptures, letting the Holy Spirit speak into your life, over your life. To feel forgiven, to feel loved, to feel whole. When Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3, we're anticipating this would happen, actually, because John is saying, first of all, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one more powerful than I is coming after me, he's telling all the people, and I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John is preaching about somebody else coming, and we know it's Jesus. And John reinforces when Jesus gets there and asks to be baptized by him, he says, I don't need to be baptized by you. I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. And Jesus said, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. What was the reason that Jesus needed to be baptized? John was baptizing people to repent of their sins, and Jesus is sinless. So there's no reason for him to be baptized except for it shows that the baton is being literally passed from John to Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, that confirms it. You may recall the promise made to John's father, Zechariah, about what his son would be was this: he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God with the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And John says in chapter 3 of John, he must increase and I must decrease. So he saw that event of Jesus' baptism as the moment of transition, when John would decrease and Jesus' ministry began to increase. But the clincher in the story that we heard today of the account of Jesus' baptism is at the end, where it says this: when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Baptism needs to be rescued from your head to be experienced in your heart. And I hope you hear the words that God gave to his Son Jesus, because they're the very words that were claimed for you when you were baptized. This is my beloved child. This is my son. This is my daughter. With you I am well pleased. Baptism defines us. It says that we are a child of God. Now, life can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're not feeling like God loves you, or that you're good enough, or that you're done enough, or that you're whatever. But I want to say, you're here. You're here today. You're making this step, as being in worship, a step toward God, to open your heart, your mind, your soul, to experience Him. To let Him in is the point of worship today. During my internship, when I was just training to be a pastor, and I was serving a church of over 800 people with another pastor, and I was the only other, there's a large staff, but I was in charge of the men's ministry and the confirmation to ninth graders, which was about 60 kids, and Stephen ministry, and helping with pastoral care, and preaching, and learning all the things that it took to be a pastor, and I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling really like, I'll never be able to do this. This is way too much work for me. And I can't feel like I'm ever getting ahead of things. And my supervisor, the senior pastor of the church, sat down with me, and I shared with him the feelings of being overwhelmed and not sure if I'm even doing the right thing. And he said, Jeff, take a deep breath. You know what? You are serving the Lord. And God is pleased with your effort. You're not going to do it perfectly. But to go at the end of the day with, Lord, I've given all I can to you today. And to listen to the voice of the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful son. Well done. Baptism, because God claims us, is that ability to experience His favor, His love. None of us are going to do it all right and all perfect. But we do have a God who claimed us in our baptism, who loves us, who redeemed us, who rescued us from death and sin and the devil. And so, friends, today, that's what it means to walk wet, to claim that God still is working in your life every moment of every day. And when you take a shower in the morning, let that be the waters of baptism washing over you, reminding you you're claimed, you're loved, you're forgiven. And then to let that experience go through the rest of your day and the rest of your week. And then you come back here on Sunday and get filled up again and walk wet. Because baptism needs to be rescued from your head to be experienced in your heart. Let us pray. Lord, I would assume that everyone here has been baptized. But if there's anyone here that has not been baptized, may this be the moment that assures them or moves them or gives them a desire to want to be more fully known by you, to be fully claimed by you. And Lord, if that's someone here, I pray that they would feel the movement to come and talk to me after service or later this week. Lord, to follow up with your joy of your commandment to be baptized. And for all of us, Lord, who have been baptized, maybe it was when we were just a little infant. We don't even remember it, like me. Or maybe we were older, or maybe we were an adult, and we experienced that going underwater and coming up again. But Lord, wherever, whoever we are, may today be a time when we open our spirit to you to be filled again by the promise of baptism, by the power of baptism. And Lord, may this be a new day, and we start a new year to remind us that we can walk wet. We can walk in the truth of your promise, and you will never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, may we believe and may we open ourselves to you and your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.